Hey everyone, this is Brandon Lyles. My wife Heidi and I pastor Living Word Northwest in Rogers, Minnesota. We hope what you're about to hear encourages you no matter what you're facing this week. We believe you'll experience Jesus wherever you're listening from right now. Enjoy the message.
You ready for the word today? I'm telling you, I am wailing through it. You should hear first service. My caffeine is fresh and I'm just like, you are getting the first service experience today, because I believe God's got something in his word that's going to bless you. And I want to make sure you get it all. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Speaking of baptisms today. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John, but John tried to talk him out of it. Good one, John. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. Good one, John. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. If you are getting baptized today, I believe that the heavens will open and the Spirit of God will come upon you and you will hear his voice. It may not look like it like a dove. It may not be an audible voice, but I believe not just because you're in the river and in the water, I believe that he will speak to your heart in that moment. I believe it. That's what I'm believing for today. And if you're not being baptized, I'm asking you to pray that this morning the people come up out of that river, not just with some little cute memento of being baptized, but with a word from God. Because what happened after Jesus was baptized? It was just the beginning of his call, of his ministry. And your ministry may not be in a church as a pastor. Come on. Life is more than that. Your call could be to your kids in a living room somewhere, at your job, in a cubicle. I don't know what your call is, but I believe that today when people come out of that river after being baptized like Jesus, they're getting ready to step into the fullness of their ministry, their call, their purpose. Are you with me, church? Come on. The gospel accounts of Jesus get a little bit confusing because each of them is a little bit different, right? In some of them, you might read how John said, you know, I'm not fit to carry your sandals. And in other ones, I'm not fit to tie your sandals. And in some, the Holy Spirit came down like an actual dove. In some, it was metaphorical. But there is one line that is consistent through every account, and it is the meat and potatoes. It is, as I'm saying today, the only thing that matters. This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. Listen closely, church. Heaven and earth will pass away. The word promises that. And the word also tells us that God moved heaven and earth. Why? To prove to you one thing that will last forever, and that is his love for you. Seems so simple, but let me tell you, we get our priorities backwards. Your priorities may need a little repositioning this morning, like I know mine do often. Because we invest so much time into things that are actually not even going to last. Let's just think about our homes and our cars and all those things that we need to live. But they're not going to stick around forever. We know that. Even our jobs, even our callings here on this earth won't last forever, right? We know that. Actually, even a lot of the spiritual things that we place such a priority on will not last. Tongues, you know, these church services. That's not going to be around forever. So then, God, what is the priority? He wanted to prove one central thing, that like Jesus, you are God's dearly loved. Or you're his beloved. Isn't that good? Knowing this is the only thing that matters, and knowing that we can and we should consider our priorities as passing, I want to read 1 Corinthians 13 to you because it speaks about love and it's very familiar. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal or Pastor Brandon. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body and did every outreach that Northwest did, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Skip to verse 7. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. This isn't just a how-to on how to love. Although if you get cranky when you're tired and need to work on your love, then definitely review these scriptures a little bit more, like I need to do, probably need to do more. Yes, I got an amen from my wife. But it's not a how-to manual, babe. This is a love story. This is a love story. It's not how to be perfect, how to love more, how to not go to hell, how to get healed. The problem is when we look at it like that, then if it doesn't work, we get mad at the one who wrote it and we get out of Dodge. But when we realize it's a love story and he's working with us and he's moving with us and he's patient with us, right? Then we realize that something greater is going on beneath the surface. And when we do that, we read the word differently. So we would read 1 Corinthians 13:7 like this: God's love never gives up on me. He never loses faith in me. He is always hopeful for me. He endures through every circumstance. Wait, every circumstance with me, with you. It's a love story of already's. These are things that God has already chosen to do for you. He's already died for you. He already loves you. He's already poured out his spirit on you. Hey, if you really want to dig into it, he's already healed you. He's already cleansed you. So we're baptizing today, right? Is that why you're quiet? Some of you are just scared to death of the rushing current of the Mississippi River. I'm not going to lie, I woke up with a little anxiety. I'm thinking to myself, if that current is strong and I drop somebody down, you know, it may be a situation where it's like, we're going down, you know, and then whoop, you know, off down the river. So I'm a little nervous. Yeah, we'll have a couple people a little bit further down the river. And that'd be funny too if people are tubing down the river. Just like, hey, duke. Cheers. Anyway. What are we talking about? Baptism. Yeah, we'll send Marty out after him. Go get him, Marty. Baptize him. Baptism, it doesn't just do something. It says something. Yeah. Right? Like Jesus. I'm about to read to you kind of this essence of baptism as far as I'm concerned. Because he makes it a public statement, really, what he's doing. He's, you know, baptism, it says, like, look what the Lord has done for me. See his goodness in my life, right? See how my struggle wasn't stronger than my Savior. You know what I'm saying? Just look at what the Lord has done in my life. So Colossians 2:12, it may be a little bit different as far as baptism scriptures go, but I love it. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Publicly, he's done it all. And so publicly today, some of you are declaring, look what the Lord has done. Look at this new life that he has paid for. And if you take it a step further in Matthew 3:13, Jesus is baptized, right? He hears he's God's dearly loved. And then in Matthew 4:1, he gets led into what? Solitude, the wilderness. He faces temptation. And then in Matthew 4:12, finally, he starts the real work of his purpose and call. So to me, that says that baptism is just the beginning. Ooh, come on now. It marks the beginning, the starting of your greater journey with the Lord. Babe, I see you got that mic. Go for it.
Yep. I just wanted to add, it's kind of like a wedding day when you stand before people and you declare your love to your spouse.
Yeah.
Getting baptized is like standing before people and declaring your love for Jesus,
right,
who has been declaring his love for you and will continue to declare his love to you, his true. Beloved one. It's like another step. It's a step, but another beginning in your path.
That's good, babe. It's not just like a Disney movie, right? Where you kind of struggle to find the one and then you marry the one and then you live happily ever after. This is the difference between us. She's so optimistic about life. I'm kind of like, everything's just dark. So, you know, I live in the valley. It's not like that Disney movie though, right? Marriage is just the beginning. Baptism is just the beginning. Because Disney never tells a story of all of Aladdin's bills and taxes and the teenagers, right? And you know, what happens when Jasmine gets those wrinkles, you know? She's not going to, you know, look so young forever. Her eyes are, you know, she's just... But you know what I'm saying? Well, Disney characters' eyes are ginormous for some reason. Like, I don't understand... I don't know, I'm looking over here like the band's supposed to know. Oh. It's so they can express emotion better. Man, I just love having you in the service. You finish my songs for me when you sing along. Got the Disney. Anyway. What follows baptism is, it's kind of the meat of the story, right? Like Jesus, some of us may need to go into solitude. After this time of experiencing this new creation, we need time to hear his voice, but also there's times of temptation. But we believe honestly that just like Jesus, that you will experience a deeper understanding of what's next. And you know what? If you're not being baptized today, yes, I'm asking you to believe this for the people that are, but this is your life right now. We are constantly being washed by the water of the word, and every day we get this fresh manna. So God, today, I want a deeper understanding of what you've called me to do next. Like Jesus, is this just the beginning of my ministry to my kids, to my spouse, in this church, at my job, whatever, wherever season you find yourself, it's just the beginning. Amen. So I see you have the microphone again.
It's okay.
You sure?
Yeah. Oh,
we got time.
Okay.
I liked what you said about the Ethiopian and Philip.
Yeah, I said this in the last service. It's in Acts 8.
Yeah.
Philip is revealing who Jesus is, this Ethiopian man, while they're traveling on the road. And this precious man is so excited and hungry to hear about Jesus. He receives Jesus. And then immediately after, he tells Philip, you've got to baptize me. Right there's a pool of water. Let's do that now. And so Philip baptizes him. And right after he baptizes him, Philip gets translated into the spirit, into this other place.
That's going to happen to me today.
And the Ethiopian man never sees him again, but it set the course for him because then when he went back into his country, he was a new creation. The word said he was filled with joy.
Wow.
He had this renewed passion, telling everyone that he saw about Jesus being the first, you know, person most likely to spread the gospel of Jesus into his whole country.
Wow.
Getting baptized does that. It takes us deeper into the call that he has for us.
Yeah, that is so good. I love that. I was thinking about my grandparents and things that they valued and things that were important to them, which is why baptism isn't just this cute little religious thing that we do. It's why we ask that you make the decision to be baptized. And some of you maybe weren't planning on it today and you're like, you know what? On my way out from service, I'm gonna grab a hot dog and get baptized. But think about like your grandparents, my grandparents, they had 6 pictures in their home. Only 6. Young people are like, what? 6 pictures? I take that in a second. 6 pictures in their home. Things that were the most important to them. My grandfather, my grandmother, they had a picture of my grandpa in the military because that was important to him, his military service. Their wedding picture, right? Back then, they didn't smile apparently ever. Madly in love and people just never smiled. I don't know what it was. their first house, right? Picture in front of their first house. And then they had a picture of their kids, picture of their grandkids, and then the old guy with the white hair taking communion picture. That one, right? Six pictures. You knew what was priority to them. Then you step back a generation, my parents, and then they invented the picture wall. Going up the staircase, 7,000 frames full of 7,000 pictures, right? And it was every season of young Brandon's life, right? Kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, all the school pictures where you just like, eh, and it's just they get greasier as the years go by, right? Every single fish that I caught that apparently we had to have a picture of, right? The weird soccer pictures that on the, you know, the mounted soccer with the trophy attached to the picture, right? All of those that you begged your parents for, please, you know, it's like a $70 thing. And anyway, the picture walls, right? All mismatching frames. Well, then my generation made the picture walls digital with Instagram and Facebook. And now if you want to see what our life has consisted of, actually though, on September 18th, my Instagram is officially gone. It's deleted forever. Thank you, Jesus. I've been set free. Anyway, but you can go back. You guys are like, what? No more mullet pictures. So you can go back and you can see, you know, basically our life on Instagram. And then you look at today's generation with TikTok and Snapchat, and a picture only lasts 24 hours. So we don't even know what is priority anymore. I don't know what my kids are into except doing weird little dances to music. And I don't even know. You can't tell by looking at the pictures. Here's the point with this service, with baptisms, with every moment. It's one of our core values as a staff here at Northwest. Experience and embrace the moment. I want these baptisms. I want this afternoon. I want today right here and right now to be a moment that's picture worthy, that doesn't just get put on a stream somewhere. You remember when you used to have to like take the film out, put it in the little thing, you know, and then take it to Walgreens. You can still do that. I want you to print out the picture from this afternoon when you're baptized and frame it and put it somewhere that you can see it. We are investing a lot of money in rocks for you to take home. Just kidding. We're going to have, you can take a rock home from the river, just anything to remind you of that moment. Not just this cute little religious moment, but this moment where you made this public declaration of, yeah, you know what? Look what Jesus did for me. He took my sins to the grave with him. And then he rose again out of the grave victorious. And it's like I went with him to that place. And all that was just holding me back and weighing me down and all the things that were just, they weren't who I really was. We're left in that grave, left in that river. And when I came up out of that grave like Jesus, when I came up out of the river, I was a new creation created in Christ Jesus to do good works like Jesus. It wasn't just the end. Why do we focus on the old being gone? Why not focus on the new has come? And now, God, what do you have next for me? What do you have next for every person being baptized? What do you have next for every person listening to or sitting under the word, being washed by the water of the word this morning? What do you have next for us? What purpose, what call lies in store for us? I don't want to forget it or let it be just a moment. I want to remember that on August 29th, 2021, when people came to that river and publicly declared what Jesus has done for them, that it's like, wow. You know, it's not even just that moment, I guess. It's when people come out of the water, I want them to open up their eyes. And maybe they won't see a dove, but they'll look out and see a couple hundred people that are here in this moment with them. For when the journey gets difficult, when there are trials and temptations like Jesus faced, when there's persecution and prison like Paul faced, then no matter what comes, we are here to remind each other, don't forget what God did for you through his son Jesus. And right here in this moment, right now, like a waterfall, we are standing under this waterfall of his grace that is helping us, new mercies that are helping us continue to step forward into that great call and purpose that he's put on each one of our lives. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Babe, did you want to add something real quick here?
I love how Ananias put it when Paul was blind, remember, and Ananias prayed for him and then he could see again. This is what Ananias said to Paul right after in Acts 22, 14 to 16. The God of our ancestors has destined you to know his plan and for you to see the Holy One and to hear his voice.
Yeah.
For you will be his witness to every race of people and will share with them everything that you've seen and heard. So now, what are you waiting for? Yeah. Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins as you call upon his name. That is for all of us. That's for all
yeah,
of us.
Yeah, that's so good. Thanks for sharing that, babe.
Hey, thanks for taking the time to listen to what God has put on our hearts. If you need someone to pray with you or for you, join Heidi and I Monday nights, 8 p.m. Central Time on Facebook. And just know we're grateful to the Lord that he's given us this time with you. God bless.